Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome. Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest today is the... Ooh, what kind of an adjective should I use for this guy? I don't know. Something scary and something brilliant. I think that's about as close as I'll really come to it at this particular point. David Andrew Christensen has two little thingies he'd like us to plug for him. PersimmonPublishingUS.com. That's PersimmonPublishing.com. US.com. That's not Per Simon Publishing. That's another website. And David Andrew Christensen channel on YouTube. So without further ado, we're going to bring him on. Now, David, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Right. Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what exactly the heck is the Katrina virus?
Well, there's two things today. I went to the United States Air Force Academy, graduated from there, became commissioned in the Air Force, and served my country. I left the military in 1989 as a captain, separated from the Air Force, got a master's degree from the University of Arkansas. Spring forward to New Orleans. I started living in New Orleans before Hurricane Katrina, and then discovered during Hurricane Katrina that weapons of mass destruction had been manufactured, tested, stored there. Chemical warfare weapons, which I have compiled into one simple phrase, the Katrina virus. Now spring forward to today, with the Super Bowl being there this weekend and Mardi Gras, we're coming up the United States today, confidentially clandestine, placed the world on alert for a pending pandemic coming out of the United States. We have three current viruses that are at epidemic levels. One is a whooping cough, but the two that are most important are the flu and the norovirus. And it's interesting, sort of a coincidence, that the previous norovirus from 2009 was called the New Orleans norovirus, and then it became the Sydney norovirus. And now the next one is mutating into what I call the Super Bowl norovirus or the Mardi Gras norovirus. So with that being said, sir, do you have any questions?
Well, I want to know what your background is on virology.
I learned about it over the last 5 or 6 years, studying up on it. When I became aware of what was happening in New Orleans, I started reading on it, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, et cetera. And this norovirus, while the flu virus is very dangerous, this norovirus, and one of the spectacular things, let me back up for a second. Let me share one piece of information that is really critical to all this. The United States is not a great country when it comes to moral and ethics, all right? So if you are the United States of America, what would be a perfect military weapon? Well, it is one that you could disperse to the other army where the other army would commit suicide. That's what they were working on in New Orleans. They were working on triggering agents that would trigger cancer in individuals, but the suicide weapon was perfect because then you didn't have to, you wouldn't have to have prisons, you wouldn't have to house anybody, et cetera. So they started working on this 50, 60, 70 years ago, and they had all the laboratories interdispersed through New Orleans. And you have to remember, New Orleans is the chemical capital of the world. If you ever take a Google Earth picture of the Mississippi River, there's thousands of chemical plants. So they had everything they needed to conduct this research there in New Orleans, and it's all documented. But our government, didn't take care of the facilities once they were done with them. So we had bacterias, we had viruses, we had radioactive particles. There was a nuclear accelerator down where I lived in New Orleans that had been removed. So all this stuff just festered in New Orleans. And then before Hurricane Katrina, they bring in this army division. And there's two really critical points about that I want to point out just to simplify how important it was that this be covered up. we're the greatest country in the world as far as the military presence, and we didn't go in for 5 days. They wanted to allow these chemicals to disperse, and that's what it was about. And a lot of people remember George Bush and Air Force One flying over New Orleans but not landing. I, as an Air Force officer and an Air Force pilot, flew support missions for Air Force One, for the president, his dad, and for the Secret Service. Belchase Naval Air Station was secure. They told the world that he couldn't land because it wasn't secure. That's absolutely not true. If you go back now and look at the books that people read, like Donald Rumsfeld, who was Secretary of Defense, the first Special Operations Wing out of Herbert Field was there en masse. We had this entire division there, but their job was to keep people looking at the Superdome and the Convention Center while these chemicals dispersed. And if you ever look at the Convention Center videos, the greatest interstate in the United States is the Mississippi River. Every redneck in South Louisiana has a boat. All they do is say, walk to the river, we'll pick you up. I'm rambling. Vinny, you got any questions?
Well, I've also wondered why it's called specifically the Katrina virus, and you just kind of answered that question, because when you've got chemical, biological, radiological facilities and things of that nature along something that is as much affected by heavy rainfall as a river, when you're downstream, you're screwed. I wonder just exactly what the game plan is here, because I always see that they use crisis as an opportunity in this type of situation. Who benefits from this kind of viral and biological chemical outbreak sort of thing? Is there any benefit at all, or was it just an accident that just kind of happened?
It was an accident that should have been dealt with, and the public should have been notified. And, you know, they call it negligent, which it was, because they didn't maintain the facilities. You know, my close friend and my roommate from the Air Force Academy is J.K. McKay, who works at the Pentagon in Black Ops. His wife is the head of what they call Defense Finance and Accounting Service, which handles all the money for the Department of Defense for the United States of America. She sat at my house and told me, she goes, I issued millions of dollars in cash in satchels to these guys that were there. Their main objective was to move, disperse, to allow it to disperse, protect these facilities. And that's why there are still upwards of 1,200 people missing from New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. And people talk about it. New Orleans is a bowl. Things don't float out, they float in. So my background, I was very well connected. The sources are impeccable. You know, it's one of the reasons on March 15th, 2011, they brought a SWAT team to my house. They wanted my evidence, my records. I had a SWAT team come to my house a couple of weeks ago. I'm not very popular with my own government, but what I hate to see is mankind. And there's two things I'm going to say really quick. In New Orleans right now, there's a zip code 70112. The average life expectancy for a man is 54. New Orleans has the highest cancer, death, suicide, infant mortality, asthma, et cetera, rates in the nation, and nobody cares. And obviously, it's a very minority-driven city, and that bothers me. It's just so corrupt down there that nobody cares. But this virus, if you look at it, remember, a hurricane's a perfect incubator. High humidity, high temperature, and there's a lot of solids in the air from being stirred up, so bacteria and virus just latch on. So that's spread it out through the United States. And our government, I call it the federal desensitizing propaganda machine, is really good at what they do. And it's like Americans have just become zombies. They just, you know, they just don't care. And that's what's scary about it is, you know, people say, well, you know, you take the world. I said, the mortgage crisis, the whole downturn in the international economy was caused by the United States and the way we acted during the mortgage crisis. So I'm not real happy with my own country. But I feel an obligation to try to protect not only Americans, but the world. And this weekend is absolutely crucial. They should cancel the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It should be canceled. Everybody from all over the world has descended into New Orleans. They brought everything there, what's already in place. And they're putting out the articles, putting up the Red Cross on alert today. The military has moved in. you know, I really think that they'll end up canceling it. But who knows? They may let it play. If you see one person getting sick on the sideline or one person sick in the stadium, that's it. They'll take that virus all over the world. It is definitely a pandemic. And they've used that today in one of the videos I talk about. Health agencies are already calling it a pandemic. It's official. That's in writing. It comes from reliable sources. People know it's coming. It's just that how far are they going to let this go before they shut New Orleans down? And during Mardi Gras, which is going on right now, it is an absolutely filthy city. All these, if you get a chance, go to a webcam on Bourbon Street or New Orleans, and all these food vendors come from all over the United States. They bring people with them, and it just is a festering cesspool at this time of year. It's a lot of fun, and it's a great city, but they should have canceled it. They should have stopped people from coming in, but they didn't do that because of the money involved. And I want to emphasize one thing else. I notified the NFL and Roger Goodell, the commissioner, a year ago. I said, you got to move the Super Bowl. I told it to him. I put it in writing. I emailed him. I emailed him today. I said, you got real problems there. This they call the norovirus. Some people are calling it the Ferrari norovirus because how fast it moves. And the thing that kills you is the dehydration. Vinny, I'm talking a lot. Do you have any questions?
Well, I think you've asked me if I have any questions thrice so far in this interview. The fact that you're talking and the fact that I'm listening should actually give you some indication of the importance of these subjects of which you speak, and I want to continue listening.
Okay. Well, and in the YouTube channel, David Andrew Christensen channel, I go through and in the descriptions below the videos, I always put the links that I'm referencing. And the CDC, I sent them four emails today, as well as the National Institute of Health. I communicate with everybody. And as a side note, probably one of the only reasons I'm alive is over the course of the last 7 years, I send everything to the Supreme Court of the United States. I think they're aware of it. I think they realize how bad our government is. I think that they realized from me that the Katrina virus is real and is one of the reasons that Obamacare passed with John Roberts. He set a precedent. He never would have voted for that, I don't believe, if it hadn't been for the Katrina virus and the way it's infected our nation. We're seeing now with our government, I call it the federal desensitizing propaganda machine, articles in the paper where they're saying that my generation is going to bury our kids, that the life expectancy on the Katrina virus, it attacks both weakened immune systems and decaying immune systems. So in between, say, 24 to 25 years old and above about 60 years old, that's where it attacks. And I cite examples, and here's a perfect example of what they're doing and how they're very conniving. They've said baby boomers, and a baby boomer is somebody born before 1965, that all of us are to go out and get tested for hepatitis C. Well, there's no reason for that. If you're not an intravenous drug user, don't have a tattoo, haven't had surgery or blood transfusion, there's no medical reason why you should go. But they're saying that a third of that population has hepatitis C. Well, where did we get it from? Another example is the flu virus. Half the people that die of the flu every year have had the shot. What purpose does that serve? Go ahead.
I've always contended that the vaccination programs, get a flu shot, get a flu shot, are actually intended not to protect you from the virus, but to actually give you the virus.
And I agree. And I also think that there's other components to it. And one of the things that I did is the antidote vaccine for the Katrina virus I call Genesis, and I'm sure they're working on perfecting it. The problem is it mutates. So every year in the United States, the government gets a free shot at 40% of the people to give them something through a flu shot. And I think right now that our kids are getting 26 vaccines every year, and not every year, but 26 vaccines before they're 5 or 6 years old. And I think that's critical. But the flu shot, and if you look at right now, they don't track. Like another thing, it's sort of a sign of, I sort of call myself a translator for people. I can tell you the truth, and I can see things other people can't see. Like one of the examples with the CDC, and that stands for the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, is they say the number of kids dying Well, when you think of kids, you think about 18 and below. But really, a kid is below 18, all right? And they say that in order for a kid to have been classified as dying from the flu, there has to be a lab test. Only 122 cities in the United States do those lab tests, and that's where they draw from. So I grew up in Iowa, which has 99 counties. They probably don't count Iowa at all. So it's a lie. You know, when they come and say, well, this is how many kids died of the flu virus last week, well, you really don't know. Because you're only taken out of 122 cities, and there has to be a lab test. So they rigged the game, I guess you could say. And the next thing is, we're not tracking adult flu deaths in the United States. And that just, I cannot believe that we're not doing that. So are 1,000 people dying, or 10,000 people, or 100,000 people die? So you've got to go through all the newspaper articles, and you got to count them. And there's some good websites out there right now with medical doctors that are trying to do that. You know, and you know, they're saying, like, right now, I think that it's publicly from the CDC, there's like 50 kids that have died, but actually it could be 200. And then, I really could springboard that into like gun control. You know, how many kids die every year from car accidents? And yet our country, you know, on the gun control issue, I'm not afraid of anybody else, not the Chinese or the Russians. I'm afraid of my own government. I'm petrified of them. So...
Well, they have killed quite a few people in the last, since its frickin' existence. If you weren't afraid of the US government, you frickin' should be, regardless of whether or not you're bringing out such a controversial and dangerous information that you are, that essentially threatens what they would call national security. I kind of think of the nation as more or less a corporation, and security meaning tyranny. So you're basically threatening corporate tyranny here, and therefore you become a target. Not only should you be really worried about it, but the rest of the people too, as in nobody's exempt from the scumbaggery of this government.
Nobody is. That's true. And I know you're down in New Zealand, and I did a video on New Zealand. I was glad your judge stood up in that .com case, you know, taking pressure from the United States, you know, financially, just like Canada, you know. I was glad to see you finally had a judge that stood up and said, hey, no, this is wrong. I don't know what he did.
You know, it is actually quite difficult to find a non-corrupt judge in New Zealand, because I think we've got about 46 or something high, 46%, I think, of our high court judges are related by first cousin at least. So you try getting an investigation going for corruption or something like that. Well, boy, do they protect their interests. We'll be right back with David Andrew Christensen, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments. Casting live across the USSA, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Sorry about that. There's something stuck in my throat. I think it might have been communism. My very special guest is David Andrew Christensen. Two little websites for you to go to, ladies and gentlemen. PersimmonPublishingUS.com and David Andrew Christensen channel on YouTube. Welcome back. We were talking over the break about how, basically the US government are a bunch of real scary scumbaggery individuals, and they do really horrible things to people, like strap them to a wheelchair and taser them. And you kind of wonder to yourself, you know, how could they do this? You know, how big is the corruption? The mind is boggled. It reels. And I think, well, essentially, if you try to understand insanity, you've got to become crazy, right? You ever notice that? The more psychosis and things like that you see, like, I wonder if this is an effect that happens to say, homicide investigators or something like that. They see the worst treatment of other human beings and most vile crimes and murders. They get, in a sense, desensitized to it. And the problem that we have generally, this is very generalization, of course, is that people can't think like their enemies. We don't think like a psychopath. And I think in order to defeat your enemy, you have to know how they think. David, welcome back.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts on this?
Well, if you want to, if anybody ever gets a chance and they want, you know, some proof, our own government will actually tell you, go to the Presidential Commission on Bioethics. And there's two studies that I always talk about. One was in Alabama. It was called the Tuskegee study. It involved black men that had syphilis. They withheld penicillin from these black men for 40 years. 40 years the study went on, and these men died excruciating deaths. We're down in Guatemala when our government injected syphilis into kids to study it. You know, we're no better than the Germans. And you know, speaking of the Germans and the Nazis, you know, the Nazis got their template for eugenics. And you all know what eugenics is, the forced sterilization of individuals. They got their template from for eugenics from the state of California. I mean, Hitler...
Is that through the American Eugenics Society, which was later renamed Planned Parenthood, of which Bill Gates of Microsoft Daddy was one of the people on the board of, I think, or something like that?
You know, you might be right. I know that Procter & Gamble was involved in it, and you're right. She was. That it was a woman. Sanger was her name, I believe. We also had a Supreme Court judge who was involved in it. So Hitler just tools on over the United States and says, hey, let's use California's manual. We're not a good country. You know, no matter, we are the best marketing machine in the world. We can sell pet rocks to people. We can sell stuff that nobody else wants. And it's wrong. It absolutely is. I think there are some good people, but, you know, people just don't want to stand up. And the end of the whole equation right now, the revolution is we're $30 trillion in debt. Now, I know everybody wants to talk about 16.4, but ladies and gentlemen, we can't pay anything toward the debt, and we're deficit spending $1 trillion a year. There's a revolution coming. But let me get back to New Orleans. I want to concentrate on the Katrina virus, the Mardi Gras norovirus. This norovirus can live anywhere on countertops. It can be transferred now through the air, aerosol. You know, it's a very violent illness. You know, dehydration is what will ultimately cause death in a lot of the cases. Plus, this flu virus is coming along, and the same thing: pneumonia, the flu virus, and dehydration. So, in New Orleans, we get this massive, a couple million people that come in that are traveling, that are fatigued, that are partying, drinking beer, doing drugs, you know, eating one of the worst possible foods you can eat for the norovirus, which is seafoods, you know, et cetera. And we're putting them in this city that is now at its filthiest stage, you know, of the year with Mardi Gras. And if anybody, one person comes in with the norovirus, it's going to spread. And it mutates so fast.
Could you?
I mean, they're very concerned.
I'm sorry, David. Could you actually explain what are the symptoms of the norovirus and how is it transmitted? How infectious is it?
Oh, it's extremely infectious. Our government has already said that it goes through a crowd like a Ferrari. You can get it from physical touch. If you grab a doorknob or a counter. It's in hotel sheets. It's in water.
It's not an airborne virus, is it?
No, it can be. That's the problem that it's mutated in. And it's not as great as some things, but like, you know, you flush a toilet and it comes out, you know, there's different ways that it's airborne. And they're not really sure. And you got to remember, the information you get from our government is censored. And it's a lot of times it's just not true. They hope for the best. Now today the government took a big step, you know, putting the world on alert and the humanitarian groups and the military, you know. But the problem we're going to have is when these people leave New Orleans, you know, it may not be devastating in New Orleans, but when it leaves, that's the thing that's going to hurt the world. I mean, we're creating enemies of the world to have a sporting event. And it shouldn't be that way. Our government, our president should stand up and say, wait a minute, you know, we need to look at this. And I think they will. Tomorrow's a big day. The CDC releases last week's flu report. So we'll find out how many people have died, you know, how contagious it is, where is it traveling to, et cetera. But right now, the norovirus is huge in the Northeast, Princeton University, et cetera. And if you ever look at these equations of how it's transferred and how quickly it can infect, and it can infect the entire city of New Orleans, and there'd be no place to hide. And that's the real scary part. So we're developing this, you know, what do you call it, genocide, Armageddon, and they're not talking about it the way they should be. They should be broadcasting left and right. Hey, you know, we need to be aware of this. We need to take a look at it. But no, they're just going to wait for the catastrophe. And that's the thing that bothers me. It's no different than when Hurricane Katrina came through. You know, the preparation, nobody did anything. It was just like the hurricane came. So,
I've also got this idea that they don't like to waste a crisis, so they let them happen, and in order to justify whatever it is they want, what would they use this for? If let's say it did, as you alluded to, turn into a massive crisis, a massive outbreak, what kind of emergency powers would they give themselves?
Well, and they would, even though they don't have it. I mean, you know, if you've ever read, you know, our Constitution, the Second Amendment, it's absolute—the right to bear arms without any regulation. It's very clear, and our government now has taken upon themselves, just like, you know, hey, we're gonna regulate this, we're gonna do background checks. You know, the Constitution is not that I agree with it, but it's drafted that way, and it's pretty exact in what it says. You know, we have a president now that's issuing these orders about gun ownership. We have taken it, and here's how far down this hole we've gone. We are classifying our combat veterans as terrorists. So when they get out of the military, they can't own guns. Most of them don't go to buy guns, but when they do, that's when they find out that they can't own one. There's no court hearing. You know, you were never notified. They just hope that people don't buy them, and then they deal with it later on when somebody has to file suit, which they're not going to do. So the background check. And here's the problem with what we're going through right now in our country is they're doing this background check, but you know all somebody has to do is red flag you, and then you go in to buy a gun, you can't get it, and then it's up to you. And it shouldn't be that way. The government should say we're going to do this. You can't buy a gun because of this reason. But you know, I get off topic. I have very strong, and let me tell you this, Vinny, and most people don't realize this. I'm ex-military. My DD-214, which is my official military document when I left, is online. I put it online. I have two expert marksman ribbons. I'm good with guns. I hate guns. I don't own guns. I don't have them in my house. But by God, people have a right to own guns, period. End of statement. All right, if you're a convicted felon, you know, I can understand it, but still, our Constitution and the law, and again, I want to reiterate this. I'm not afraid of anybody. The drug lords, criminals, I'm afraid of the United States government. All right. They're historically just as evil as the Germans in Nazi Germany. That they're no better. They, you know, but I got off there on a little bit.
Well, the U.S. government like released sarin gas into a New York subway to see how it would work on people and how it would spread. You know, these people are crazy. Absolutely freaking crazy. In every single sense of the word, you know, nihilistic, psychopathic, whatever label you want to put on it, you can't put any label like benevolent or helpful or honest or decent onto the United States administration really at any point throughout history. Least of all the frickin' 20th century, since Bernaysian propaganda has taken hold. You can convince people to accept anything these days. That's the real sad part.
You're absolutely right. I mean, just take, and I go back to this over and over, you just take the national debt. We're going to hurt and harm the entire world with it. It's unbelievable that the world doesn't get upset with us for what we're doing. I don't understand it. I mean, New Zealand ought to be screaming, and Canada more than anybody ought to be screaming at us right now, and they're not. And what we're doing today, like, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you a funny I got two funny stories for you if you want to do a little humor right now.
I'm always keen for humor.
I sent all my information to the Supreme Court of Canada as well as the Prime Minister, and they never responded to me. And I sent hundreds of pages of documents and letters, et cetera, outlining how the Katrina virus traveled, where it went. You know, here's the effects, the side effects, et cetera. And I sent him one letter, and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to go to Canada to see some friends. As you all know, I've been classified as a terrorist by the United States of America. And I got a letter back from them. They actually told me I was welcome in Canada. It was the only response I ever got from Canada was, hey, that's great. Come on up. Here's the website. You know, here's what we need to do. But, yeah, you're definitely welcome in Canada. Come to Canada. So I got a kick out.
Isn't that defined as state-sponsored terror?
You know, most people don't realize, you know, in 2010, they classified me as a terrorist so they could bypass our judiciary system. And if you look at the National Defense Authorization Act, I have a very special commission in our military. I'm a commissioned officer for life. And, you know, what they've done is they said, hey, you know, we can classify anybody as a terrorist now, and we can assassinate them both on U.S. soil and foreign soil. Well, I'm one of those guys. There's a few of us out there that have received this classification, even though I've never done a violent thing in my life. You know, I don't own guns. I don't own weapons. I don't travel. I go to bed at 8:30 at night, and I get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a routine person. I haven't been out of the state of Florida in about a year and a half. You know, I've gone to see a friend of mine in Tampa, and that's about it. They know where I am 24 hours a day. You know, they still harass me occasionally, not as much as they used to, but when they arrested me, that's a spooky, spooky story, what they can do to you, and you have no recourse. So, and this week, I mean, I try to find humor in all of it, but it's tough because I really feel that a lot of people are going to die in the next 6 months because of what's going to happen in New Orleans this weekend. And when they do, what's the world going to do? My saving grace is some of the radio shows like yours, the YouTube channels. I mean, the alternate media has to step up. You know, people have to start turning to it and to get their news, at least the translated part of it. And one of the most amazing parts about the United States, due to the arrogance, every once in a while, not every once in a while, but you know, if you read an article from them, there is some truth in it. You just got to be able to see it. And I'm good at that. And right now, like today, with what happened with the Red Cross and how I found out, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're in a city and all of a sudden you see, you know, 50 Red Cross semis pulling into town. You got to think, what's up? Or when you start seeing tanks roll down the street like happened in Houston, was it yesterday, the day before, when they had a military exercise, or down in Miami, you got to wonder, you know, they're firing, you know, live rounds. What's going on? And people just, you know, they're going to take care of us. Well, these same, you know, numbskulls took care of us to put us $30 trillion in debt. They're not taking care of us.
See, and I think that's a very conservative estimate, because that doesn't take into account the several quadrillion of derivatives debt that is floating away up there somewhere in the clouds. I don't know if Wall Street somehow has connected with God to create a doomsday debt or something like that. I don't know how it's worked, but the other element that I wanted to point out here is that people don't know the definition of terrorism. You look in the dictionary, it's actually a system of government. A system of government that uses fear and intimidation to get the population to do what it wants. Is the United States a terrorist government, according to that definition? Why, yes! They frickin' are! And of course, you know, the best way, if your opponents don't like you being a Nazi, the best thing to do is accuse your opponents of being Nazis. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. David Andrew Christensen is my guest from PersimmonPublishingUS.com. Back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, The world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that is all about history repeating. And I understand that history is a dying subject in American high schools. Dates, figures, places and things in history, these things aren't interesting. The things that are really interesting is conspiracy. And if you look through history, it's virtually nothing but. Almost every historical event's got some kind of conspiracy theory behind it. And conspiracies are very simple. Two or more people coming together to cause harm on another group of people without that group of people knowing about it. Anybody ever have siblings? I've had siblings cause harm on me without me knowing about it. It happens all the time. It is basically the glue that holds tyranny together. My very special guest, David Andrew Christensen, is with us today for a good 2 hours. So don't you go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And I also wanted to reiterate the importance of his information with regards to this, because when you've been in the military, when you've got special status, as he does, I think you've got to listen to what he says. Particularly if he's questioning and revealing facts that are really, really damaging to the administration. If anything, he should be classified as a whistleblower, isn't it? Don't you think, David?
Yes.
Now, what exactly can we do about this? I mean, in terms of the Katrina virus that we're talking about here, what steps can people take, I mean, other than just avoiding Mardi Gras?
Well, you know, right now that would be the best thing, is to stay out of New Orleans, you know, and to take care of yourself. I would hope that they would, and I would hope our government would step up and say, you know, we need to keep people away, or we need to cancel the game. You know, if one football player or coach or somebody that's involved in staging the event gets sick, they need to do that. But they're not talking about that right now, and they should be. And again, it travels so fast. That and they've already discussed like the incubation period, and that it can live for 2 weeks. Like you can get it one day and not show any signs for 2 weeks, or you can have it and pass it and never get sick. But with all this whole world coming together in this one city at this one time, you know, and New Orleans is the equivalent of a third world country. It's not part of the United States. It's just a very unique city. And the way they operate their, you know, their codes and things like that, they don't do a good job of it. And during Mardi Gras, it's even worse.
Okay. Right. So there's no health, things that people can take, like vitamin C or, other things of that nature. Once you've got it, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, and in the worst part about New Orleans, we don't have great health care. I mean, we're still better than probably, you know, a lot of the world, but, you know, we never rebuilt Cherry Hospital, which was downtown, to service the needs of the poor. We're still limited on that. New Orleans is not really functional or operational in a lot of aspects. It's basically a tourist town surrounded by the chemical industry, and that's what it is. So, it's a scary time, and the world should be looking at it. You know, they should say, "Hey, what's going on here?" And we were taking, you know, huge leaps and bounds every day. Today we got national press from ABC. They used the word pandemic, so ABC has used it in several instances. So we're also faced with a very difficult road. And the fact, and I'm not saying anything, you know, anti-Jewish or anti-Israeli, but our press is controlled by an inordinate amount of Jewish owners. The guy that owns the newspaper in New Orleans is named Donald Newhouse, and he owns about 150 publications, newspapers, radio stations, TV, internet, etc. He's on par with Rupert Murdoch. He's just a lot more low-keyed. And I think there's some agreement that they're not going to talk about the Katrina virus and what happened in New Orleans for whatever reason they've done with the federal government, even though they talk about the statistics of our health of the health issues down there, you know, with the suicide rates in the paper and the life expectancies, etc. I mean, New Orleans, this is, you know, there's some speculation that AIDS was invented in New Orleans. I mean, you know, New Orleans and Baton Rouge have the highest SDT, gonorrhea, syphilis rates in the nation, as well as AIDS, you know, and but nobody cares, Vinny. And that's the scary part, is very few people actually care. They just want to look the other way and do nothing. But yet, when the bill comes, it's going to be so large that they can't pay it. They just want to put it off and turn their back to it. And that's one of the things that scares me. And I'm not successful at getting the word out. You know, I mean, I show people documents, and one of the things I do that I really, really like and makes me, you know, is that I can take government documents and show it to you. You know, here's what this says. Like when I show you the CDC flu report from last Friday, how they analyze, you know, the deaths for kids. You know, it's right there. They say it, and that they don't track adult deaths, even though they track everything else in this world. Do you know our attorney general got on national TV and says, we have a thing called data mining. We're going to track everything about every American, you know, everything you do, when you use a charge card on your internet, your text messages, your phone calls, everything's going to be tracked and stored for 5 years. And people, when I say, well, why don't they track death rates and how somebody dies? They say, well, they don't have that capability. Are you kidding me? The NSA, they monitor everything, and they always have. And I'm affiliated with that. You know, I was connected to it when I was at the Air Force Academy. I people talk about chemtrails. I never even really knew what a chemtrail was until within the last couple of months. But yet, when I was at David Monthan Air Force Base, and then when I flew C-130s, you know, we had this process and this procedure that I got trained on about spraying Agent Orange. You know, I mean, we have the capability to do it, all right, and the medical capability. So people say, well, it can't be. It's hogwash. If our government wants to spray it and whatever's in it, you know, if you look at the Katrina virus, which is most amazing, it was transported via the atmospheric conditions. All right, so why wouldn't they maybe distribute the antidote and the vaccine in the same manner? I mean, you know, sometimes the best way to absorb that stuff is through the skin. You know, it may not be through the mouth and the stomach, because the stomach's very corrosive. A lot of things don't survive that. That's why we get shots. And that goes through the skin or maybe into the blood. But there's so many unknowns out there. And Vinny, let me back up. I was never a federal whistleblower. I was never one of these guys. It's really strange. What happened to me in this particular instance for New Orleans is I was subjected to mortgage fraud. A gentleman sold me a piece of property, and I never got the title to it, et cetera. And that's where it came from. I stood up to him. I didn't realize he was being protected by the federal government. His name was Louis Madera. He was a scumbag attorney down in New Orleans. It was being protected by Jim Letton in the Department of Justice because of the criminal activities that he was conducting. The Department of Justice was reaping benefits. And that's what they do. Ultimately, he had entered the Federal Witness Protection Program because they didn't know what to do with him. But they totally ruined my life by all this. You know, so here you got a guy that served his country, you know, with distinction, and I end up being a terrorist. It almost seems impossible, but it's not anymore. That's the way our government, what they're doing that to a lot of people. There's terrorists, then there's domestic terrorists, and that's what they're doing is pretty soon. And let me talk for a second as an ex-military guy. What they're doing with our veterans is they're coming out, these combat veterans, and they've classified them as the largest terrorist threat in the United States is our military combat vets. Did you know, Vinny, that 50 members of our military family commit suicide every day in the United States? They publicly acknowledge one soldier and 18 veterans, but they don't acknowledge the family members. And I did a video the other day that suicide is actually a contagious situation. So we have these soldiers committing suicide, then the wife or the kids will. And it's amazing how high the probability is that if one suicide will lead to another. So our government says, well, we're not tracking the suicide for the family members or the veterans. But they are, Vinny. I promise you they are. And a lot of these veterans were in Iraq and Afghanistan with these chemical warfare contaminants, these weapons of mass destruction, this sixth-generation Agent Orange. And Agent Orange was, I lived in New Orleans, Agent Orange was manufactured in New Orleans on Earhart Boulevard. You know, it was manufactured by a company called Thompson Hayward, a hard cross. I used to deliver chemicals for that company as a kid in Iowa. You know, it's amazing in my life since I was a kid how I learned things, like delivering hazardous chemicals. We had a family business, so I learned about hazardous chemicals and chemicals from the family business. And then to deliver for Harcross and Thompson Hayward, who was the production company for Agent Orange, which was just absolutely, I can't believe that we, as that mankind would invent something like that. And it's still around. You know, we were using it in Afghanistan. We're using it in Iraq. You know, and people, if any of your callers ever call in or send, you know, you any type of messages, they want to call the bullshit flag on me, more power to them. You know, I want people to say things to me and say, I'll go back. It happened to me the other day, and I'm trying to remember what it was where I know what it was. I made a mistake. I had done all these studies based that the Super Bowl is this Sunday, and that Fat Tuesday, the last day of Mardi Gras, was the 5th. You want to say something?
Yeah, we're coming to break. And I also wanted to say that suicide is now the leading cause of death in the United States. And yeah, a lot of the veterans are medicated as well with SSRI drugs, which on the printout sheet says can cause suicide and homicide. We'll be right back, folks. Leave you with that happy thought. Another hour with David Andrew Christensen coming up.